ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey everyone, welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is the final part of the two-part series with Dallas Surf with Tony and Gavin. There's a lot going on in these two-part episodes. Like I said, there's a lot of moving parts for the club. If we've missed anything or if you want to know more about the club, go check them out at their website at dallassurf.com or check out their social medias. It'll all be listed in the show notes. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch. So as you progress, you have your leagues, you have your academies. Make sure I have my wording right here because I do write some of this down. Better way of putting it. How do you prioritize these younger age groups? Because at the end of the day, they are the future of the club. How do you prioritize them to make sure they transition well throughout your program? Because at the end of the day, if you aren't if you aren't focusing on them, you won't have a future later on, because I feel if you have a club DNA, a club culture that parents buy into, they will stay, because at the end of the day, they might have a bad coach for a year or a year and a half if you're swapping out coaches, or if they're able to go to one coach to another coach within the club. I think parents will actually stay longer if there is a belief system within the club.
We made a change this past summer, and it probably wasn't even as radical as Gavin and I wanted to do, but we came with something we thought we could accomplish. Our academy, we felt like a lot of the struggle in the academy age groups were an academy coach in a lot of cases makes half of what a select coach would make. So what's the motivation for a high-level coach to take a younger team and cut his paycheck in half? So we said, we've got to fix this. We're not completely to where we think we will be, but our academy coaches, for the most part, it may be slightly different, make what a select coach makes. Now, they may have smaller rosters, and that could affect it, things like that. But that was where we thought a huge opportunity was as we looked across the landscape. A lot of times with academies, you end up with maybe a parent that brought a rec team over that continues to coach. And they may be fantastic coaches, you don't know. But you weren't getting the higher coaches, the experienced coaches working with academy because, and it's, I mean, it's reality. Like it's, you have to make money to live. If it's half the paycheck, it makes it tough. So what we did this year is we did increase, and we're transparent, it's all on our website. We did increase our academy fees slightly, not a lot, but slightly. But we did, as a club, we just passed all of that straight through to our academy coaches. So now we do have select coaches that now are, took academy teams this year because they're like, okay, it makes sense. And we pushed that. We think we'd love for all of our high-level elite select coaches to also take an academy team if they're going to take a second or third team. That's like big picture club, but Gavin, you can talk more on the field because that's your expertise.
Yeah, I think that was a big change though, and that really helped because we have some fantastic coaches on our youngest teams, even our lower level teams as well, to get them to a point where they can catch up a little bit. And I think that's essential. For me, the academy is the most important part of the club. Those are the ages where you have to do it right. I think once you have to get a certain age, a lot of the time, like the coaching always makes a difference and a good coach is always going to accelerate things. But if you don't get it right in those U5 through U10 ages, then setting the kids up for failure. And it can't be perfect. It never is. I think we've done a good job of moving a lot of our really good coaches to those ages. And then again, with our DNA, it's very simple structure. It makes it very simple for some of our coaches who are perhaps not as experienced to even so just still run really good sessions within the academy because it's so simple in the setup of it. And I think, again, we have a key technical attributes that there's an order to it and what they work on. And then, yeah, so I think we've just done a good job of reshaping the academy a little bit.
I always been told, and I'm starting to believe, your best coaches needs to be in your academy and not your higher age groups, because if you can't foster that love for the game, they're going to be done by the age of 10 anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And if you have a great coach that can't move from the older age groups because of financial situations, it really does affect that love of the game.
I would argue perhaps, this is probably a bit extreme, but having no coach and just setting up one of our sessions is better than having a bad coach at those ages. It's such a key time for them. Our first goal is always to make them fall in love with the game and then fall in love with the ball as well.
Now, as you progress through this, now let's say you get to the select ages where you have more of the commitment from the player and the families and the time commitment, because I'll be honest, from you, once you sign that select contract, the world's different than the academy world. It's a bigger financial commitment for the families. It's a bigger commitment for the player. And how do you focus on, I guess this also applies to those younger age groups. Do you also offer programs for these age groups to enhance their skills through the club? So running camps or clinics on a regular basis. And is that something that it's on your mind often, or is it just something that is just being baked into your DNA now that you're building?
We do offer extra technical training to all the kids in the club. Twice a week for the majority of the year, it will be. That's something that we just do anyway. As Tony said, we have a new staff member, Lance, who's coming in now to offer extra camps. We have one Thanksgiving week, which is a few days away. It's going to be our first one that he's doing. We have one coming up at Christmas. We'll also do like clinics and Friday night goalkeepers versus strikers and a bunch of different sort of clinics like that. We'll have a little surfer programs again, where it's 6 week blocks. He's going to be doing a lot of extra programs. We'll always make it fairly affordable. Like this camp is $60 for surf players, which is nothing really. Yeah, Tony's does a real good job of making things, I think, very affordable for people and lots of access for everybody.
We also run, and you can give specifics, Gavin, but I have a coach, Mosen, who runs free skills programs on both sides of town. He's been, in the time of year, city fields closed, different things. So he's moved around a bit, but he's had up to 50, 60 kids at some of his programs. And back to, if anyone questions Gavin's belief in the academy, I don't know how many weeks you did it last year, Gavin, but Gavin ran free sessions for little academy age kids for what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. It was a long time. And had huge, massive groups out there. So we try to mix it up. We try to keep things going. Like I said, the no excuses, but trying to do so many things at once. That's why we felt like we needed to bring somebody in to focus on this, because we don't want to do it halfway and not be good at it. And we feel like now that we have someone focused on it, that part, that piece of our club is going to only strengthen.
That's fascinating. Gavin, I didn't know you did that this past summer with those classes. That's a huge time commitment and a huge commitment of resources for the club. That's very impressive.
You've got a good coach running free sessions.
The DLC out there running it.
We did get a lot of kids. Osen does free sessions every week. He's done them in the West for obviously a while, and then he was over in the East when during the field shutdowns and stuff. And he also works at PD1, and people go to him for extra training, but then don't come to the free sessions. It's a wild thing for me, that is. Which is good for Mosen, but yeah.
Yes. Looking at this from a parent perspective, I know that you guys do your clinics 2 days a week for the players, and I found it very fascinating that you guys were offering it, and I found it nice because it's extra touches on the ball. And I always argue there's healthy touches and there's unhealthy touches, and it's finding the right places to get those healthy touches. As you guys are building your select program, what type of pathways do you guys have for these players to go through? I know you talked about your leagues already that you're in, which kind of gives the pathway of where they can go. But do you help, as they progress through this, a chance to go play on the youth national team, or when they hit the right age group of eighth grade and start looking at their future of possibly going to college or pro connections? Do you guys have pathways to help players guide through that currently?
We do. One piece of it, once again, you'll hear me refer to Surf National probably several times during this, and that's because they're a great partner. We run our Surf Select program, and Surf Select, the easiest way I've always been able to describe it, it's like ODP, but it's internal to Surf. So there's regional, there's local, regional, then national. And for us, it's a little different because, you know, from a national standpoint, if there's a Northern California Surf Select program, which there is, there are probably 10 different surf clubs in a close enough vicinity. They all come together with the opportunity to make that team. For us, we got a couple teams in Austin, but for the most part, it's just Dallas Surf kids trying out for these programs. And as a matter of fact, we have our local tournament this weekend coming up. But the way it works is we have coaches recommend players from their teams that they think would be good for the program. And we run big tryouts. And then from those tryouts, we form teams at U9 through U14. Although the U14 is a little different because they go to San Diego for a tournament as a team. In all of the other age groups, we'll play the tournament this weekend, and then coaches will make recommendations for the Surf National Camp. And if the kids choose to participate, they go to San Diego mid-February. Gavin and I are trying to figure out a way that we can go there too, because San Diego in February is not the worst thing. So we send the kids, and then they have a big national team camp with surf kids from all over the country. It's 500 kids. It's a lot of fun to watch. And from that, they'll build a couple of teams at each age group. And then those teams go to, as a matter of fact, I think this weekend they're in Spain. They'll go to tournaments in Spain, Ireland. They do Surf Cup in San Diego, all very big tournaments. And the nice thing about being part of Surf is you do get national team scouts there. You get college scouts there. You get a ton of exposure. Internally, for us, We would love to have a national team player. That's not the level of our club. We're realistic. As we grow, like, that's certainly a goal. Right now, our goal should be the kids that want to play in college, making sure we give them a pathway to get to college. And we do that with a few different ways. We pay. The last 2 years, it's been Scouting Zone. This year, that has moved to Athlete One, which, if people aren't familiar with Athlete One, get ready, because I think we're all going to be familiar with it very soon. But Athlete One and TGS, especially the group that ran ECNL's back end, bought Scouting Zone. So we pay an annual subscription, and all of our kids, eighth grade through senior year, have accounts. Like, they have and it's brand new, like, this month. So we're still learning. Scouting Zone, I could have given you the ins and outs, but they all have an Athlete One account, which is fantastic. We went to St. Louis, Gavin and I, a couple of weeks ago for a big showcase. The button, and it prints out your flyers for you, color flyers. Gavin's look better than mine, but that's another story. It takes care of all that. We invest in that. We also spend quite a bit of money from a camera standpoint. We use Huddle. We have a Huddle account. The teams do have to buy in, but we split it with them 50-50. So instead of their camera and account costing them $3,000, it costs them about $1,500, and the club covers the other $1,500. We know that film is – that's the best way to get recruited. That's the way you're going to drive coaches to your games. We also have Scott Moore, who's our college director. He works on the back end, consistently putting stuff together for the boys and girls, letting them know, here's what's upcoming. He just yesterday sent me a list of all the spring ID camps in the region, so we can put that out so kids know what the dates and locations are. I'll say, and Gavin can speak, I've got 07 girls this year. We have 17 on the team. 11 have committed. The six that haven't, it's because they don't want to play in college. They've decided they just want to go to school. And it's not – they've just followed the programs we've given them. We make it super easy. And it's – a lot of that comes down to the kid. If they want to work, there's a program out there for everybody. But as a club, we've decided whatever we need to do to support them, that's what we'll do. That falls on us as a club, but it also falls on their coaches. And then the last thing I'll throw in is the last – 3 years we've run a college ID camp, some weather difficulties last year, and we've done it for boys and girls to differing levels of success. This year we're actually going to run a showcase, a small one-day showcase. We've got the girls on the calendar. We'll have the boys on the calendar by this week. January 25th, we're going to invite 18 teams, including obviously our surf teams, and we've already got almost 20 college coaches committed. We make it very affordable for the teams. They'll come in, and as a team, they'll play two games that day against similar competition, and we bring the coaches in. We help with if we got to get a coach a hotel or something like that. We bring them in, and that gives them an opportunity for immediate exposure right there. So, like I said, the Surf Select helps them get to a national level, surf internally. The national team, fingers crossed, we'll get there soon. We aren't that level yet, but from a college standpoint, we do quite a bit. And Gavin, I know I rambled a bit there, but if you have anything to add, please do.
No, I think you everything. We do have some big schools come into that team showcase as well. And I think last year from Surf Select, we got, 16 national players, was it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think 16?
Yeah.
Might be a mistake.
Yeah, we had kids all over the world last summer getting to play.
So the Surf Select sounds like, you called it your own internal ODP, which is a great way of describing it, I think. And then your pathway for kids for college sounds like you guys have a lot really bunkering, I shouldn't call it bunkering, packaged in to help them get their chance to go to the next level. Do you have a connection then, because it's a nationwide organization then, do you guys have programs to help players possibly skip the college route and go pro, or do you just focus on what you have in front of you currently and trying to keep that live and well for the players to be recognized and seen?
We don't have a specific Dallas surf program that leads there. That being said, we have connections with other surf clubs that do have those connections. Sardinas, he's a director for Eastern Washington Surf, but he's also a scout for the West Coast for several clubs over in England. And he'll tell us anytime when we want him to fly in, and he'll probably come to our showcases and things like that. So I would say not directly Dallas Surf, but indirectly we do have opportunities to get the kids in front of those, or get kids those opportunities that are looking for them.
We
have several, I think, that are going to play college overseas. It's a little different, but like those college programs, or maybe a club program associated with the college that also has a professional team. So they're not necessarily going to the profession, but they're going to attend school over there and get in a program that if they succeed, there is opportunity to be promoted into a professional environment.
I think a lot of parents like to hear that. I think having the college pathway program is important. I think a lot of parents are seeing the value of having a way for their players to make it to a collegiate level because of the education side of it, to help them further their lives along. With that being said, how do you recognize these players internally within the club then that are going through these programs? Or if someone does well and it's just not a random pick, do you highlight players? Do you give a player profile shout out or something like that on social media? Do you work with coaches to find these players within the club to recognize players?
I would say from the college standpoint, yes, and signing day was last Wednesday. So we're still, as we get them, we're putting those out. Any kid that accomplishes anything, we certainly want to promote them. In the last month, we've added like goal of the month. We do a team of the week for the academy age groups and a team of the week for the select age groups. We actually have an intern, a social media intern, because a lot of us aren't as good on social media as we should be. She's great. She's a college student in North Texas, comes in a couple times a week and does that. And because we know that's an opportunity, we continue to add things. But if there's anything that we can promote, we try to promote it. A lot of that falls on the coaches because obviously we don't see the teams every week. And the parents, Melissa, who's fantastic, our administrator, she communicates directly with the parents, sends emails out and says, hey, if you got any good video, if you have any good pictures, please share.
Looking at going back to, you talked about huddle with film. Is that, are the teams allowed to pick anything they want, or do they have to specifically go through huddle? And looking at this as a parent, there's so many different avenues out there to get film. Yeah.
The way it works is we will provide team accounts for all our U15 through U19 teams, which means whether they use Veo or Huddle or Trace or whatever, they can house their video there. We liked Huddle. The reason we went to Huddle, we were Veo 2 years ago, and then it was just team by team. But what we found were teams would purchase a Veo, and Veo's getting better, Veo, however you pronounce it. But then they were also purchasing a Huddle account because they'd have to upload the video into Huddle so they could do the highlight packages that everybody has. Last year was the first year Huddle actually introduced their own camera. And so we were like, much easier. You film it with the Huddle, and like as soon as it uploads, it's also in their Huddle account. So for each of our kids, U15 through any high school age kids, they will have a team account. And then on the team account, each player will have an individual account. They can build highlights. They can do everything. They can send the college coaches a link to their personal account. It goes in there. And you can put height, weight, college preference. They can put all their details in there, which is great. That being said, that's where we give them the choice of the camera. If they want to use Huddle, it's $1,500 to have the camera for the year, and we still cover the cost of the account. If they're like, no, we love Veo, they can use that. We still cover the cost of the Huddle account. They just have to go through the extra step of uploading their video into that. But no, we give them the option of the Huddle camera, but we provide the Huddle account with no expense to them. So they've got a place to house their video no matter what.
I love hearing that. Now, me being a selfish parent here, I always like when coaches do game review, and this is more of the player-centric. Do you guys encourage your coaches to have camera systems? Doesn't matter what one it is. It's just so they can work with their teams to improve and educate. And I feel like that's a great place for also on the back end for having live video of your teams to work with your coaches on things that you're seeing and help better educate the coaches on top of it.
My answer to that is honestly, like, obviously it's down to the coach, the teams themselves as well, like who want the camera and stuff. Like the video, if I had this video and could look back at my highlights and stuff, it would have been amazing. It's such a good tool for the kids to watch themselves back and perhaps see the mistakes they're making, see the positive things and learn from it. I will say the hardest part of being a coach is not many kids want to do that. So you can try as much as you want to really do it, but I think it has to be in such bite-sized pieces when you do that, or very short video sessions. So we do have a lot of coaches who do them with their teams and go through videos, or they might create playlists and or maybe individual things they'll send to players as well. But I think that also, that mostly falls on the player and their own like intrinsic motivation to want to learn by watching the video back. And it's definitely easier said than done, I think, especially with social media these days. Like it's a part of our DNA, shows the style of our play we want with clips. And the goal is to build that out as a library of our teams and our own players as role modeling. And so the coaches can easily just send that clip to the players and visualize what they want to see. Right now, though, it's just me, majority is me collected clips from social media that work in the same way as what a clip of our players would. So I think often it's easier, and I've got older teams now, but when I had younger teams as well, I mean, my kids had a list of Instagram people to watch and different clips that they show, and they do such a good job now, like just showing that sort of content and just really clip it out perfectly. And you can often just send that the same way as you could send your own video. Obviously, it's better to see yourself, but often kids these days relate much easier to social media as well. So I think people use both methods. That's probably a long answer. I don't know, it's gone where you want, but
it's a great answer.
And we encourage our high school age teams. They need to have camera. If a kid wants to go to college, that's just such an important piece. We need to make sure that we're giving them all the tools to achieve that. So for the younger ones, we have a lot that use it. That hasn't been something we've pushed, but for our U15 to U19. And if they're in, like, some of the leagues require it. We played DPL the last couple of years. They required us to video every game. EA does as well. But if they don't, we need to give these kids every opportunity to accomplish their goals. And to Gavin's point with social media and the way people communicate now, having video is very important to that process.
This is more of a general topic dealing with, same with the video. Do you have ways for how you break down the resources then? Because camera is a huge side of it, but training facilities and things along that line. I know that you guys are very heavily invested on the west side right now, and you talked about other locations. How do you spread out your resources to make sure that all your facilities are, quote, equal? I've been in clubs where I felt like if you're on the east side of town, you were treated much differently than the west side of town. Since I live on the west side of town, I always felt like we were the ugly stepchildren of the club because of resources are spread because where majority of the club is based. So how do you make sure that all locations are getting what they need for equipment, or coaches are getting what they need to provide adequate sessions?
I get tired of hearing Gavin complain, so I just do it so he'll leave me alone typically. No, I'm just joking. I think, and I firmly believe this, I think one benefit we have is I'm still coaching. If I've got a team and I've got to be on a field, like it needs to be, I don't want to play on a poorly lit or poor field any more than anyone else. So to give a little background, when we started this, we've always had the plan of wanting a home where, you know, almost all of our teams could, big enough where we could have the club there. We were pretty far down that road in Flower Mound. We started that before we even announced the club, had agreed to purchase a piece of land. And after a year of dealing with P&Z and city council and most vocal were the neighbors, realized it just wasn't going to get approved. Like we wasted it well over a year of our lives trying to get some, and it was in a great location. It was close to Pitt Roanoke. Frankly, that set us back a little bit. Like we had stuff that we didn't think we'd be in long-term because of that. I think this year we've taken a giant step. We've taken over when Saints merged with us and joined us, they've got a pretty decent facility there at Keller, the Keller Lions Club, where they had already invested some money and had a lot of equipment. We have also added additional goals there and some other things. We had the opportunity, as you guys know, to partner with Christ Haven. The exciting thing about that, and there's nothing ever happens as quickly as you'd like it to. We'd love for it to be there, but we've really only had an agreement with them for probably a few months. The exciting thing about those guys there is they're open to the improvements. And so we've got plans there. We're working with some other, but to answer your question, Ian, like, we want all of our facilities to be well lit, flat, and playable. Some, it's going to cost more to do that than others. And all of that to say that what we have existing, if that's what we have to do to improve, the nice thing is now we're in places where we can do it when you're with the city. Like, we loved Alliance Park. It was 3 full fields, but for some reason, that's the only group of fields the city of Fort Worth chose not to light and made it very difficult for us to figure out a solution to that. And the fields weren't great, and we just have no control over those. A year and a half into our agreement, they decided they didn't want to rent to us on Thursdays anymore. That's massive for a soccer club that trains Monday through Thursday. So what we've tried to do is two things. Find locations that we control the maintenance and we control the improvements. We think we're there. And from our standpoint as an ownership group, like, we're more than, it's cheaper to invest and improve those than it is to build a 6-build complex. You balance all of that from that standpoint. That being said, we're consistently, and we're working with groups now, trying to find a home where we can still do what our ultimate goal is, to build a facility that can house the bulk of our teams. We've worked with private schools. We've done a lot. That's, anytime you ask me, like, fields and leagues is basically, that's my job. That's what I do every day, all week. So I think that we're very committed to like using our resources to, because it's a simple game, right? A couple of goals cost you a couple of grand. There's, once you get the field and the lights situated, the rest of the stuff's easy. There's not a huge investment. It's finding people that will let us invest in that and do that. We've got some places now. We're fortunate in the East. Like you said, we don't want them to feel like they're getting the short end of the stick. They've got Pitt Plano. There just happened to be a facility there that we're able to rent. And we also got Founders Park in Wiley. So they're already in great shape. There's not, we don't have to invest money for the West, and we do need more space in the West. That's where we are having to. So the bulk of our field improvements will be in the West, but that's not a knock on the East. They just are already a few steps ahead of where we are. As a coach who's still on the field a few times a week, I know the benefit of having good facilities. So we don't want a facility that's subpar to any of our others. We want them to be equal.
That's good to hear, because I feel a lot of clubs, I feel a lot of facilities are left on their own. We've been around for a little bit in this, the club world, and it really comes down to the DOC of the area really can either make or break the locations. I personally feel, because working through some of the clubs that we've played at, there's been some great DOCs that made sure the fields are in perfect condition. And then the DOC's constantly fighting with the club, trying to get improvements to the field locations, because the grass takes a beating and it's not cheap to maintain. And most people don't understand how complex that equation is to get there. So with the club as a whole, is there anything that's coming up that you can share, that's something you guys are proud of that you're doing, or something that will hopefully change the perspective of surf, Dallas surf as a whole, to be a powerhouse here versus some of the other clubs that are currently here?
From my perspective, I think the main things that we do very well is the support that the coaches get, the support that the kids get. Everything is about the kids. Our retention rate of players, like teams, coaches, is, in the time I've been here, it's phenomenal. I think it far exceeds probably most clubs. I think that's down to the support they get as coaches, as players. Hopefully with the push on parent education, that will only help that even further. I'm sure we'll lose some as well, because they'll think perhaps what we're doing is not the right way. but that's fine. Like even Surf Select, we mentioned a lot, like that's also a pathway for coaches to continually improve. The coaches who are doing a good job get the chance to coach the pool of regional teams. Then you can also get a chance to coach the national teams. I myself got to do a national team last year. It was a great experience. Hoping to be on it again this year and hoping to go somewhere much more fun than Dallas and hoping for Spain.
Better than MoneyGram.
That's it. Like the internal promotion, I think, is one of the things. If you look at myself, I came in a year and a half ago where Tony didn't know me. I came in just to coach a couple of teams and whatnot. And after a quick chat, he thought perhaps this is the role for you. And then a year later, I'm now the DOC. And I think a lot of the times people, if you have a good team, you get put in front of somebody else. And that's just not the case. Like we want people who want to learn and want to do things the right way and do things for the kids. And I think the supportive environment we have is just so much better. That's the biggest thing for me that I think we do really well currently. And then future stuff, I'm not sure we can say because we're trying to change things so much. And I want to be the first to do it all.
I can say we definitely can't say, but hopefully by March there will be some things that will let us be considered a powerhouse, not just locally, but regionally and nationally. That is the two things when we decided to do this, and I was like, okay, I'll leave Solar and do this. I said, there's only two things, and one is we've got to have a home, like whether it's rented or owned or whatever. I was at a big club with a high-level team and still having to find my own practice field sometimes. I just thought that was – I hated that. We've got to make that part easy. And then two is I'm not doing this to compete with – I won't throw out names, but I'm not doing this to compete with mid-level clubs. If we're not competing with FC Dallas and Solar, and as I've told the guys in San Diego, our goal is to be better than them. If that's not our objective, then I don't want to do it. I love it. Like I think we spend a lot of time on this. All of us, Gavin, myself, like all of our directors, like this is a 7-day a week thing for us. And if we're going to spend that much time, if we're not trying to be the best club in the country, then it just wasn't worth it. So we're taking some big swings right now to answer your question that would, I think, make people look at us a little differently. Unfortunately, not something we can share, but that is our goal every day, to how do we give our coaches, our players the best opportunity, and how do we make our club, put our club in a position where we can do some big things.
Awesome. Now, what's the best way of reaching out to, if someone's trying to find information on you all, what's the best way of finding that to reach out to anyone if they're trying to get information or to find someone within the organization to have a conversation with?
I think all our emails and phone numbers are on the website.
And it's dallassurf.com.org.
Dallassurf.com, yeah.
Thank you. Now, my favorite question to ask and at the end of every interview. So you both have played. You guys both coach. So you guys will have the same question. You guys can take turns. Whoever one that goes first can go first. But who has been the greatest influence you as a player growing up? It doesn't have to. It can be anyone. It doesn't have to be a player or a coach. It could be friends or a parent. It could be anyone. And same thing applies as a coach. Who has been the greatest influence as you as a player? And who's been the greatest influence on you as a coach?
Oh, gosh. I would say it's probably because obviously I never met him. But in 86, when Maradona just took over the soccer world, I became passionate about it. Like I tucked the front of my shirt in, let the back of it hang loose, even though I was too slow to make it flap in the wind. I did everything. I can still picture him on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Just English people can picture that as well.
Didn't play like him, but wanted to play like him. But that just, I was 12, 13 at the time. And that's what made me want to play and want to play all day, every day.
And as a coach, who was the greatest influence on you?
I would say Pablo Gonzalez, which is funny because I didn't meet him until I was mid-30s. And I actually hired him to coach at Defeaters. But I learned more from him in the years that I worked. And he's at FC Dallas now working in the academy. Man, just his philosophy on how things should be done just made so much sense to me. And I had good coaches prior to that and worked with good coaches. But I would say hopefully he doesn't hear this. He'll get a big head. But I would say Pablo Gonzalez just like every – and that's I think why I liked Gavin so much, because a lot of the way Gavin viewed it was the way Pablo did, which I completely bought into. And a lot of what I still do is 100% stolen from him.
Now, Mr. Gavin.
I can't remember what I said last time on the.
you evolve as a person.
It's true. As a player, I mean, my dad for sure, because I grew up obviously watching him. He's a player and he was a good player. Also, as well, like role models as I was growing up, like some of my favorite players as well, definitely influenced the style of play that I play or even coach. Definitely had a few favorite players growing up. As a coach, again, my dad, like he was my coach for many years. As the years go by, I'm definitely different to him now as a coach, for sure. But also then, again, I'm such an observant person. Like, I study everything. I'm always trying to learn something. Every coach that I played for, I had some really good coaches, especially as you go into, like, the academies and professional game and stuff like that. But I often just, I take away everything that I didn't like. And I just don't do that in my coaching, wrong or rightly. So really my answer is my dad, but also I just pick up so much from the players I watch and the coaches that I played for as well.
Hey everyone, I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Chat by the Pitch with Gavin and Tony. There's a lot of information in this two-part series that they talk about, things that they're doing, things they have. Think about this. This was recorded back in November. And we are now just releasing this episode. So they have a lot of changes, a lot of different league options have popped up, different changes that they're doing, and they're evolving. And if you're looking for more information on them, check out the show notes, go check out their website. It's DallasSurf.com. All their social media follows a similar name. You'll be able to follow what they're doing within the community, what their tryouts are like, what is going on, if this club fits what you want to do, if they have a coach that you may like. I have my stance on all this. You all know what that is. So give them a chance. Give them a look at.
Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review. Share this. Share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.